that the other thing that will help us would be to keep trusting in God and doing good, and also to delight in the Lord and to commit your ways to the Lord through prayer. That was the message we had last Sunday, and thank you for those who got time to listen it online, and we glorify God for that. Today, the topic that the Lord has put in my heart is about waiting upon God patiently, waiting patiently on God, waiting patiently on God. That's a message that I'm giving today, and we are reading in Psalm. I want us to read a couple of verses before I go to the message. One will be Psalm 37 and verse 7. If you don't mind, we can read together. Psalm 37, 7, the Bible says, "Be still before the Lord and wait patiently for him. Do not fret when people succeed in their ways, when they carry out their wicked schemes." That's passage one. The second passage I want us to read as well is in Psalm 40, verse 1 and 3. This is what the Bible says. "I waited patiently for the Lord. He turned to me and heard my cry." And he said again here, I can't read there, let me just read here in the Bible. He said again, "He lifted me out of the slimy pit, out of the mud and mire. He set my feet on a rock and gave me a firm place to stand. He put a new song in my mouth, a hymn of praise to our God. Many will see and fear and put their trust in the Lord," or in him. Amen. 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 Yeah, I'm not going to stop saying this. This is a black African man. When you speak to him, when he's preaching, he would like you to get involved. And then he's going to know that you're listening. But if you just keep quiet and play it quiet, then he's going to know that no one is listening. Amen. Amen. May not do it every Sunday, but please just do it for this Sunday. Hallelujah. Amen. Yeah, so as I said, I'm talking about the message which is saying waiting patiently on God, waiting patiently on the Lord God. Did you know that when you are really hungry, you feel starving, come from work, come from wherever, and you pop up in your house and you're there, and others have a chance to go use the microwave themselves. But do you know that when you're really hungry, it seems like the microwave seems not to be speed enough to warm up that food? Yes. You feel like there's 20 minutes, whatever, 2-3 minutes that I put there, it seems that it's not even helping. When you are in a rush on the road, those red lights seem to take longer to change. You feel like, come on, what's going on? There's a red light. Looks like they're against you. When you really need money and you got that check and you're in the weekend, maybe you get that check Friday evening and the bank is closed. Sometimes it's hard to wait until Monday. That's why people go check it somewhere. You have to go to Money Mart and say, "Please help me to check it." You know yourself how you really feel when the only answer you see in front of you is like those signs. You know what you feel when you see the sign, "Slow down," and you're in a rush. The sign says, "Men are at work. Kids are playing. The road is blocked. No passing, no going through. Yield, no trespassing." And when you're waiting for the bus, the other shocking sign says, "Expect delay." How about when you come to the office and you find they say, "We are closed, we'll be back next week." You know how you feel. You feel like, what's going on today? And when you apply for school or a job or anything you may have, and they tell you you've been put on a waiting list. We do consider your application, but you're on the waiting list. You really don't feel good. You feel, oh, what's going on? So when we talk about waiting upon the Lord, it's a very important subject. It's a very significant subject for us Christian. The word waiting patiently on God. This is a very huge, but very important, vital for our Christian walk with God. When we came here for the first time in Canada in 2008, we had too many impressions, you know, first week, too many impressions. But thank God now we get used to every system, and we can say we are now integrated. It may not be 100%, but we are quite integrated. We realize, and that is true, that we are living in the society which is called a hurry-up mentality, society which has a hurry-up mentality. This century we live in, it's a society called a society of a hurry-up mentality, a fast-paced world. Everything is instant. Everything is express. Speed up. That's awesome. It's phenomenal. It's good. It's great. Everything is tick-tack. Amen. Oh, yeah. Thank you, John. God bless you. Everything is express. Everything is just, you can't wait. You know, when you step on this train machine, if you don't keep up with it, you know what's going to happen for you, because it's running, it's rolling, it's going. You got to watch your speed, or else you're going to fall down. For the first time, when we went to downtown, and we had to enter this big building, and unfortunately, my wife, was first time for her to step on this, there you go, escalator, there we go. And then she was, oh, hi. I said, come on, honey, take it easy, I'm here, I'll make sure we make it safe. Because if you mess up, then it's gone. We are living in a very good society, very good century, very good time, the time where everything is going, is running, and you have to catch up with the speed, or else you're going to stay back. So yes, we are in a can't-wait culture. We are in a hurry-up mentality. Everything is express. Everything is just express land, express lane, express oil change, express checkout, instant coffee, instant drink, instant hot meal. There is some place you're going to find, they're going to cook for you the rice even for 10 minutes. It's ready. The food is there. Everything is express. Instant movie. Sometimes people don't need even to go to the theater. They can pull up your smartphone from there. You watch your movie everywhere you want. That's how the world is. So beautiful. So awesome. The speed is just running. That's it. And all that, it affects our ability to wait. It affects our ability to be patient. It affects our ability to reason, to think that, yes, I can yield and wait a little bit for something better. Because we live in a society, a time, a season, a period whereby everything is speed. There is a drive-through. You know, you drive through and you get food like that. Just arrive there. First time when we saw this, what's going on here? We just go there, boom, we talk, and hey, I need this, I need that. And how? Hey, in 2 minutes, food in your mouth. Hallelujah. That's the world we live in. Express, everything is tic-tac. It's good. But in the beginning, I don't think it was this way before. But now we all are in the good system. We are catch up. My fear is when it comes even in the church. That is my fear, when even the church tries to catch up with the rhythm of the world. And that sometimes affects our ways of worshiping God. My first time, I was given the chance to speak to the men breakfast in Emmanuel Baptist Church. I think it's on 41st and Main Street. They invited me. They said, "Simon, can you come and speak? Give us your history. Speak to us. Tell us." Unfortunately, I thought I was still in Africa. I spoke 2 hours. Hey. At the end, I find myself with 5 people. And I asked myself, "Where are others?" And my wife was just, I said, "I'm sorry, I have to catch up." So sometimes it's positive to watch the time and to keep up with the time, to keep up with our speed. But when it comes about the things of God, I'm telling you sincerely, there is no way you can time God. You want to really get something from God, you got to wait. People say, "Oh, how come in Africa people are in the fire for God? There is miracle, there is everything." It's because in Africa people are not in rush. There is no such a service of 1.5 hours in the church for God in Africa. No. You go there, you got to get ready for 3 hours in the row. And I'm sorry, there's no coffee break. Hallelujah. Well, I was reading, I found out that in Florida one time, there was an advertisement. They advertised that there was a 22-minute church service. 22-minute church service, which the sermon goes only for 8 minutes. So 22 minutes include everything. So you know how you're going to time everything. There is no space for the Holy Spirit to speak. There is no time for a revelation. There is no time to wait on God. There is no time to give a room for God to touch. It's just 22 minutes and that's it. And everyone is there. They know we are here for the 22 minutes. So it's tic-tac. It's mechanical. Because there is no time for waiting. People, we've gone so far. Children of God, we've gone so far. There is no time to wait on God. There is no time to yield and say, "I want to hear from God." We are living in a very tough time. The church is going through a very tough time. If you read in the book, you're going to find Paul was speaking at night the whole time. He was speaking until that gentleman fell from the third floor down. Why? Because he was speaking for long hours. So can we come back to that primitive church? I don't think so. We are really in a rush. We are We are in a race. We are racing. And it's good. But in terms of the things of God, I think we should have God, we need to pray much. Look yourself on our road. It's even worse. You can easily see it by how people change lanes. How people change lanes. Everyone is in a hurry. But sometimes we forget what they call here, the variation law. What does it say? The variation law says this: if you change lanes or traffic lane, the one you are in will start to move faster than the one you are in now. I experienced that. I mean, I don't know about you. I try. When you rush, okay, this one, you change this one, and then it slows and slows. I have to change again. Then my wife say, "You start again." So okay, sorry. Let's keep on. So the world is in race. The world is in hurry. We're living in a world where everything is just running, running. I can't wait. I can't wait. I can't wait. There's no such patience of waiting and waiting for something. So we live in a season where it seems like even the word waiting is not in a vocabulary of this modern day technology. No one wants to wait on something. No one wants to wait in the waiting room. No one wants to wait at the bank queue. No one wants to wait at the red light, the bus, waiting for SkyTrain, for that microwave. we are just in a race. We are just racing, and there is no such time of waiting. But was it this way before? I'm not sure. Back then, remember, back then, things were different. It was totally different. There was a time when our forefathers, when they wanted to know something, they will have to wait for a week or a month to get the answer. That was the back then. Today, you can use your internet while you are sitting there, going to Google, and you just get the information like this. Bam! You get it. We have no time to wait. Back then, if you wanted, you know that, you'll recall that. Back then, if you wanted to wash some clothes or cook with water, you would have to walk down to the creek and bring the water back and then use it. But if you wanted some hot water, that was even complicated. What would happen? Then it was too complicated. You would have to get the wood too and then build the fire. And that was so complicated. And I think even Africa now, it's still the same. That's why when we came here, we had to wrestle against the integration of the culture. So we are looking today about this passage, this topic saying waiting upon the Lord, waiting patiently upon the Lord. What does it mean to wait upon the Lord? When we read in Psalm 37 verse 7, the Bible says, "Be still before the Lord and wait patiently for him. Do not fret when people succeed in their ways, when they carry out their wicked schemes." So we find here the word patiently. Wait patiently. Wait patiently. Wait patiently. Can we say it together? Wait patiently. Again?
Wait.
Once more? We can do better than that. Wait patiently. Turn to your neighbor, tell him or her, wait patiently. That's what we are talking about. To wait patiently upon God. What does it mean? It's a complex word which in Hebrew means wonderful thing. It means to be in a position of hope and expectation. You stay in the position of hope and expectation. You hope for something as you expect God to do something for you, and you wait. It also means staying in the posture of being hopeful and having expectation. Being in a status of always looking and expecting God to do something. How beautiful that is. So you are looking and waiting, and you know that I'm connecting with God and he is about to do something, so therefore I'm going to wait. What is the problem about waiting on God? What is the problem about waiting upon the Lord? The big problem is the time frame that we give to God for him to answer or to do what we've been waiting for. Time frame. Sometimes when we wait upon the Lord, we already have in our mind the time frame. If he doesn't do it in 2 days, then I'm through. If he doesn't answer me in 1 week, then no more prayer. If he doesn't answer me in 2 years, then I'm going to do it my way. If he doesn't answer me after I do this, after I pray, after I give my tithe, after I walk in the reverence and fear of God, if he doesn't answer me in this season of time, then I'm going to quit. Brothers and sisters, that is the big problem in waiting on God. When it delays, we get upset. We quit the church. We quit reading the Bible. We quit praying. We quit serving God. Sometimes we quit even giving or tithing. That is the big, big, big problem that we children of God have. But it shouldn't be this way. The Bible says, wait patiently on God. As a matter of fact, when you are on the path of waiting patiently, don't backslide. Don't get tired. Don't be weary. Don't resolve to take the matters in your own hand. Don't decide that God didn't respond as quickly as you wanted. Therefore, you will go ahead and fix it your ways. Get yourself out the deal and learn to wait patiently on God. This is the danger that we have when we wait upon the Lord. We put a time frame to God to do it. In 1 year, let me wait. In 2 years, let me wait. But it was not so, and it is not so in the Bible way. So, you ask, why should we worry? Should we bother about waiting on God? Why should we care about waiting on God? David says in Psalm 40, he says this, I waited patiently to the Lord. He turned to me and heard my cry. He lifted me out of the slimy pit, out of the mud and mire. He set my feet on a rock. He gave me a firm place to stand. He put a new song in my mouth. Can we shout amen for that? Amen. I waited on the Lord. Then he did what I was waiting for, and he put a new song in my mouth. So waiting patiently on God has many benefits, and that is the benefit to us. What do we benefit? First of all, God is developing some characters in us as we are waiting. He's developing good characters in us. We are learning God's timing when we are waiting. We are learning God's timing. God is never late, and he will not be earlier. He's on time. The time of God is called a due time, the time which is fullness time, the fixed time, the complete time. In Galatians chapter 4 verse 4, the Bible says, but when the right time came, God sent his son born of a woman subject to the law. So God is not in a hurry to respond to our need. Oh, he's not earlier, or he's not late. He comes in a due time, in his fixed time, his complete time. So when we learn to wait on God, what happened? We are learning God's timing. Not only that, when you wait upon the Lord, you also are giving yourself a break of not disturbing yourself by trying to fix the things by your own understanding, which will never succeed. As you wait upon the Lord, what happened again? You faithful waiting on God, and that makes you stronger. We heard today, our brother was reading here, which is true. The Bible said, they that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings as eagles. They shall run and not be weary, and they shall walk and not faint. How many things we find here at the benefit of waiting upon the Lord? The Bible says, they shall renew their strength. God will renew your strength as you wait upon him. Waiting upon the Lord, it positions you at the place of being heard by God. David said, as I was waiting on him, he patiently turned to me and heard my cry. Another version says, he inclined his ear to listen to my cries because I was waiting. In the Bible, we have people who waited upon the Lord. Think of Anna. She waited upon the Lord. Think of Abraham. He had to wait 100 years. In 100 years, that's when he got the son. Joseph, 13 years of waiting until he came to Pharaoh's place. Moses had to wait 40 years in the wilderness. Noah waited 120 years. And God himself, look for this. God waited thousands of years before sending the Messiah. So waiting is important. Waiting in the Lord is important thing, and that is what we need to stick to, because it's for our advantage, it's for our benefit. But we know, if you want to really wait upon the Lord, you got to know who is God and what are the characteristics of God, what are the true attribute of God. I want to give you some. I know there are too many things to know about God, but let me give you this. As you're waiting upon God, remember this. Number one, God never lies. Say amen. Hallelujah. God never lies. He never lies. We are waiting on him as you know the promises that he gave. He promised that if you go through the fire, I will be with you. If you go through the waters, it will never submerge you. I will be with you. I will strengthen you with my right hand. Then when you wait upon him, you need to know, what kind of God is that? Who is he? And the Bible says, he never lies. He will never lie. He will never lie. He's not a man to lie. In Numbers chapter 23, 19, Bible says, God is not a man that he should lie, not a human being that he should change his mind. Has he said, and will he not do it? Or has he spoken, and will he not make it happen? God is not going to lie. He's not going to start lying just because of your situation. He is not going to lie. Number one. Number two, God is faithful. The God of Israel, God of Abraham, the Lord that we are serving, he will do what he promised. 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, 24, the Bible says, he who calls you is faithful. He will do it. That's the reason why you have to wait upon God. He is faithful. He will never lie. Not only that, our God watches on his promises. He promised what he said, and he watches his promises to be fulfilled. Hallelujah. The Bible says in Jeremiah 1:12, the Lord said to me, you have seen correctly, for I am watching to see that my word is fulfilled. God, he's standing watching what he promised because he wants to see it fulfilled. So he's not going to lie. He's not going to deceive you. You have right to wait because he's watching over the promises that he gave you. He's not as a man, a human being, your parent, your friend, your boss, or anyone you can name. Theirs can deceive. They can deceive. They can even fail to fulfill what they say. But God is faithful, and not only that, he watches over his word to fulfill it. God is God of the impossible things. Luke chapter 1:37. Luke chapter 1:37, the Bible says, for nothing will be impossible with God. Let's say amen together.
Amen.
I hear just one person. Amen.
Amen.
He is God of the impossible things. So nothing is impossible to him. He can do it. He will do it. You gotta wait. God can do what you have failed to do. God can do what people have failed to do. They ask Jesus, if this is how it is, how then, who then can be saved? Jesus said in Matthew 19:26, Jesus looked at them and said, with man this is impossible, but with God all things are possible. Hallelujah. So whatever you are going through now, give it to God and wait on him. He will do it. He will do it. Nothing is impossible to him. It may be impossible to your husband. It may be impossible to your parent. It may be impossible to your boss. It may be impossible to our government. It may be impossible to your doctor. But with God, nothing is impossible. Hallelujah. So that's why we have to wait patiently on him, because he is God who is able. The Bible says when the king asked Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego about worshiping the idols, you know what they said? In Daniel chapter 3:16, Meshach, Shadrach, and Abednego, they replied the king, oh, Nebuchadnezzar, we do not need to give you an answer concerning this matter. If it be so, our God whom we serve is able. Can we say able? Can we repeat able? Our God is able to deliver us from the furnace of blessing fire, and he will deliver us out of your hand, O king. Our God is able. That's why we have to wait upon him. He is able to do abundantly, exceedingly, above what we can pray, what we can think, what we can even imagine. Hallelujah. That is God we serve. He deserves to be waited for. We have to wait on him. Why? Because he is able. Now, when you're waiting upon God, you may say, Sammy, I have no good example to imitate, but the Bible is so clear. Let's go to Hebrews chapter 6, verse 12 to 15. Look at what the Bible is saying here. Hebrews chapter 6, 12 to 15, the Bible says, we do not want you to become lazy, but to imitate. Listen to this. To imitate those who through faith and patience, I underline this passage, to imitate those who, through faith and patience, inherit what has been promised. They had faith and they have patience, so they inherited what has been promised by God to them. When God made his promise to Abraham, since there was no other greater for him to swear by, he swore by himself, saying, I will surely bless you and give you many descendants. And also, so after waiting patiently, Abraham received what was promised. So we find here, Abraham, he waited patiently. So he's an example to follow in the Bible. He's an example to follow. Anna is an example to follow. Job is an example to follow. This personage of the Bible, they waited on God patiently, and the Lord gave to them what he promised. So what to do when we are waiting on God? What to do? What is a good thing to do? How should be our attitude as you're waiting to God? Number one, keep praying without ceasing. Expectantly believing, trusting God for answer. Never give up. That's why we remember the promise. Keep remembering the promise of God upon your problem, your situation, your need, what you're going through. God in the Bible find a promise that match with your problem and stick to it and wait upon God and keep praying. Keep praying. Keep praying. Keep waiting upon the Lord. And not only that, add one more thing. Keep serving God as you're waiting on his promises. Keep serving God. Don't give up. Watch what you're doing, what God has put in your hand, what God has put in your heart to serve him. Keep it up. Keep doing it until you wait for what God is doing is going to do for your life. Now, the very important promise that we all are waiting for, we know that, you know it, I know it. We are waiting, all of us, for the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. Say amen. That's what we're waiting for. That's our common point. Others are waiting for job, others are waiting for, but the common point all of us are waiting for is the coming back of the Messiah. Hallelujah. We are waiting for the coming of Messiah. I'm waiting for him. I'm not going to go to Africa to see him. If he comes here, I'm ready to go. Hallelujah. Same thing for you. We are waiting on the Lord Jesus. He's coming. He said this in John chapter 14. He said, I'm going to my Father to prepare the place for you. And after it's ready, I will come back and take you so that together we'll go and stay together in my Father's kingdom. Hallelujah. That is the promise all of us are waiting. But there is a problem. In the Bible, in 2 Peter chapter 3, I'm going to finish now. In 2 Peter chapter 3, verse 4 to 9, I read this and it's a quite very important for you to know. Why? Because as we wait, as you're waiting for the Lord Jesus to come sometime, that spirit can come and disturb your mind. Listen to this. First of all, you might understand that in the last days, scoffers will come, scoffing and following their own evil desires. They will say, listen to this. Where is this coming he promised? Ever since our father died, everything goes on as it has since the beginning of creation. But they deliberately forget that long ago, by God's word, heaven existed and the earth was formed out of water and by water. Verse 6. By these waters also the world of that time was deluged and destroyed. Verse 7. By the same word, the present heaven and earth are reserved for fire, being kept for the day of judgment and destruction of ungodly men. Verse 8. But do not forget this one thing, dear friend. With the Lord, one single day, is like 1,000 years. And 1,000 years are like one day. Hallelujah. So when we wait upon the Lord, we need to know there will be that spirit of discouragement. That there will be that spirit of scoffing. Where is him? It's been long. It's delaying. Jesus is delaying. They will tell you that since we've been waiting for Jesus, he has never come. No, let me tell you, our Lord Jesus is coming. He promised he will come. We better get ready every time because he is coming. One day before God is 1,000 years, and 1,000 years is like one day. There is this joke that I was reading, and it says this. A young boy once had a conversation with God. He said, "Lord, I have always wondered about a time. What is 1,000 years like for you?" God answered, "For me, 1,000 years is like a second." The boy then asked, "What about money? What is $1,000,000 like for you?" And God answered, "For me, $1,000,000 is like a penny." Then the boy became very happy and said, "Lord, could you please give me one of those pennies?" God answered, "No problem, but you will have to wait just a second." One day, 1,000 years, 1,000 years, one day, just a second, wait. Brothers and sisters, waiting upon the Lord is for our benefit. We all know that the answer of God is yes, no, or wait. As we wait upon the Lord, we have to be very careful so that Satan will never take us away. Let us keep strong. We need to learn God's time to avoid those sins of impatience that cause so much harm. When we wait patiently, he will give us the good things that we are waiting for. Let us not grow weary in waiting on God. Let us not give up as we wait on the Lord. Let us be strong. I don't know what you're going through. I don't know what you've been praying for. I don't know what is your need, but let me tell you, God is faithful. He's able. He's never going to change. He'll never lie. He'll never deceive you. He will do it. Just wait upon him, and he will do it. The Bible says, "I waited on him patiently, and he heard my cries." I pray that as you wait on God, he would show himself to you and answer your prayer and do what you've been expecting and waiting on him. May God bless you. May God bless us all as we keep waiting on our Lord Jesus as he's coming. God bless you. Father, we thank you for this message. We know that it's tough to wait, but thank you that your Holy Spirit will help us, to wait upon you, Jesus. Help your church to be every day ready to the coming of the Lord, the Messiah. We thank you for the message. In Jesus' name, amen.